Thank you, Miss Abby. Take your Bibles tonight. It's our Bible study night. We're in Hebrews. We're kind of getting some momentum, but it will stop next week as we get into the Bible conference. Amen. But we'll come back and we'll do a little review. We'll get back to it again here in February. And so looking forward to it. I do appreciate the help in a new year. Being in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe that all of us, if there was some way that we could ask God to add to our faith, we can find it in Hebrews chapter 11. It is the hall of faith. It's going to remind us of some things. It ought to help us to realize that people have done things through faith since Noah, since before Noah and the flood. And help. And again, we spend a lot of time laying some foundation, but we said last week, and I want to remind you again, that we ought to do some things that faith ought to build things in our life. Noah was, he was warned of a great flood when he had never seen rain. But he took God at his word and he built a gigantic boat, not just to save himself, but his family and all the really, the animal kingdom that we know today, again, those, the clean animals of seven of a kind to get on the boat so that there was something to sacrifice when they got off on the other side. And we don't even think about it, but think about how many things, seeds and food that he had to carry on that thing, on that ark almost a year there, just spending all that time on that boat. But again, for all of us, it doesn't stop. That was great faith. But it was faith in God to do that. God would do this thing. That God, can you imagine? Listen, I'm just going to tell you. God designed the boat, and He built it by God's design. You know, many of us ought to take that and apply it to our family. I'm only going to get one shot to build my family, to raise it. I'm never going to get a second chance at it. So I ought to take God at His word and do it God's way and raise them according to the Scripture. And then trust God that they're going to turn out. What's the Bible say? You say, well, mine, I've got one that's in trouble, preacher. I got one that, listen, they make their own mind. But what do you do? What are you going to say? Well, the Bible says when they're old, they won't depart from it. It didn't say when they were young and dumb like you. When you went off and did some crazy things, right? Again, what happens is we're not always, especially young people, we're not always spiritually discerning. A lot of times, instead of fleeing youthful lust, we give in to it when we ought to be on the run. Now, by the way, youthful lust ain't always laying a lip lock on some girl. Sometimes youthful lust is being full of yourself and getting in a fight. I mean, that we could lay a lot of things under youthful lust. And again, the Scripture is going to tell us that by faith, we can conquer some things if we trust God. Most of us, I'll just say this, think about this as we get ready to go forward. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's clear from the Scripture. But Jesus also said during his earthly ministry that if you and I had a faith of a grain of a mustard seed, we could say to a mountain, be removed. Now, this is what we miss. We say, I don't know if I have that much faith. Now, I know that I serve a God that if He wanted to, mountains could disappear. But I also serve a God that if His will for my life was to go through that mountain, He'd either bore a hole so I could go through it, He'd give me the grace to go over it. But if it showed glory and brought Him glory, when I say, mountain be removed, and I didn't get the glory, but He got the glory, that mountain would disappear if I truly believed that God could do it. We truly believe tonight that God sent His Son to die on Calvary and that His purpose was to pay our sin debt. And because we can reason it out that because sin passed upon all mankind by one man, that by one man all sin. We reason it out in our mind and we put our faith and trust and we believe that God is strong enough and has, He has made a way when there was no way for us to be transported from here to there, that He's the door, He's the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that. But we don't think He can take care of our finances. We don't think that he can take care of our health problem when he built these bodies. We just don't trust him. And the people in the scripture are no different. Abraham, when God said, I want you to go out because I'm going to take you to a place, he started walking. When God said, you're going to have a child when he was 86 years old, guess what he did? In Genesis 17:17. It wasn't just, but listen, every one of us want to preach on Sarah laughing. But guess who laughed first? Abraham. Abraham just laughed. Listen, we miss the fact that God is so good that he can do above all that we could ever ask or think. But we don't. When God brings up something he wants to prove himself in, we laugh at him. It'd be like you sitting here tonight, some of you, and God says, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to make a preacher out of you. You know, the first time that went through my mind and heart, I laughed at God. Not me, Lord. Listen, you're powerful, but you ain't that powerful. That's what I thought in my mind and my heart. Because guess who I was limiting an almighty God by? Me. His greatest limitation, at least in my mind and heart, was I was not capable. But what does the scripture say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And we love to hold on to that verse, but we don't practice it. He comes through and he tells how Noah, by faith, was warned of God, and he built a boat, and again, what great things happened. Here we go to the second stage, and we get to Abraham. Abraham, by faith, Abraham went when he was called to go out into a place, and he did, and he sojourned. And again, he had a promise that, listen, this is still going to last. We talked about it last week, that one day Abraham and all of his seed will inherit the land of promise. Jerusalem and the surrounding lands, every place Abraham's soul touched is going to be his, given to him by God. He is the rightful heir of it. It goes on and names the ones that sojourned, Isaac and Jacob. They're traveling, looking for a city the last time we were together. In verse 10, for who look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The foundations, my God, is a rock. A city not only built on God, but is built by God. Amen. Listen, we talked about what city that could be, but I'm just going to tell you, it's a heavenly city. And I'm so glad the book tells us that one day a heavenly city is going to descend and reside on earth. Not made with man's hands, but made by God. By the way, after he gets done, he's built a city, he's going to renovate this, the heaven and the earth. You say, where are we going to be? In the New Jerusalem. In the city that God built. While he's doing his renovation of some other places. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Listen, I think sometimes, ladies, I want you to tune your ears in tonight, because tonight is for you. And you men should listen. But sometimes we're like, we always preach about the men. We never get to the ladies. But God put a lady in his hall of faith. Abraham, her husband, laughed, but Sarah laughed also. But I want you to see tonight some powerful things, because God had the power to give a supernatural blueprint to Noah. And he built a boat. He built something for God. And it saved the world. Abraham walked, listen, he was called to go out. And we see even today, God calls us and we can go out and do what God asks us to do and walk where he wants us to walk, preach where he wants us to preach, be a witness wherever he wants to. We can be pilgrims and sojourners upon the earth looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That ought to be the Christian. We ought to go on a walk. We ought not put our roots too deep here on earth, because our roots are going deeper and deeper in heaven every day of our Christian life. But we ought to get to the book and realize that, listen, God is also God of my physical body. And he skips over it with Abraham, but he begins when he talks about Sarah. And he says in verse number 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. I want you to go back and see some powerful things that are said in these two verses. Sarah laughed at God. By the way, the miracle didn't happen because instead of believing God and taking at his word, she just didn't believe at all. She didn't even get to the place where she laughed. Abraham laughed. And then Sarah said, listen, God couldn't do that through me, but he can do it through my handmaid. Do you know what the worst part is? Instead of letting God be God and making a way when there is no way, we want to tell God how he can do it. God, let me give you plan B. When God says plan B is good, but it ain't my plan. God wants to be seen as God and to do something that is impossible. Abraham is 86 years old the first time God gives him this prophecy. Can I promise you something? Abraham is too old to father a child. Sarah's younger than him, much younger by this time, and it would have been a miracle, but not as big a miracle as when she waits. She gives Abraham her handmaid. He goes in, and again, what happens? He believes God enough to do this. God can give me a child. He goes in into the handmaid, and they have a child named Ishmael. Now, they're still having problems today because of that relationship and that child that God blessed in spite of their stupidity. They still exist today because Ishmael and the nations that came out of him are Abraham's son. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we wonder why all the warring and everything, all because of that decision. The decision, listen, the taking over of Canaan land would have been much easier if all of the things we read in the book of Genesis had not taken place. Then we come to the place where Sarah, she is, by the time God revisits and comes back from verse chapter 17, to verse chapter 18, we get 16, 17, 18. 18, he shows back up, and all of a sudden now, Abraham's 99. Sarah's 90. Bigger miracle. God still said he would do it. His promise was still the same. Just because they were a lot older didn't mean that God could not do what God said he would do. And read the scripture with the knowledge that this man is 99 and the lady is 90, and understand, therefore, look at verse, therefore faith, through faith. Now, by the way, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. What is the statement that has been made for Noah and Abraham and all those that came before, going back to Abel and Enoch? By faith. We get to Sarah, and it doesn't change necessarily because she's a woman, but because Abraham, her husband, believed God first through faith. It's not the same. One is beside, one went right through the middle. That means because one, by faith, I believe God, Sarah had the witness that God was speaking to Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and she went through his faith. If he can believe God, I can believe God. If he can trust God, I'll go with God. The word itself, the word through, in the 1828 dictionary is translated by this, by transmission. That means there was power in the faith of God, and it was transmitted to somebody else. Do you know that most of this world, what the world needs is not just, listen, the faith of God is power enough to save every man that will believe. Sometimes they just need an example. Then through faith, they'll put their faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith also, see how, say, context is king. Context is everything. It doesn't say by faith Abraham, it says through faith also Sarah. The transmission of faith went from one to another, and she put her faith in God. When she puts her faith in God, what happens? Herself receives strength to conceive seed. That means a body who was never able her entire life. This is not just a miraculous deed that happened at age 90. She was too old to have kids, but she never had the ability. She was barren from the time she was young to the time she was old. There was never a time inside her body that she could ever have produced a child. I just want to tell you right now, the miracle was not that she was 90. The miracle was God did something that she could never do. And he did it past an age where everyone else could think it was natural. The natural man, listen, there are things and incapabilities inside us, but God is not limited by our physical capabilities. He's even not, listen, for all of you that think that God can't end you, you ain't never going to age out of God not being able to do above all that you could ever ask or think, because he's God. Amen and amen. Past age, he fixes something that's been broken since the beginning. And then, listen, the true miracle of Isaac's birth is not his conception. It is her at 90 having the strength to bear him naturally. I don't know how many of you have ever been in the room. Most of you were just born. But if you've ever been in a place where a lady actually gives birth, it's work. Most of my life, ladies would always talk about how, again, they came close to death, bringing a child into the world. Can I just submit to you tonight, church, that the miracle that happened wasn't just that the seed was conceived, but that a 90-year-old woman could naturally birth a child and have the strength in her body to do it and not die from it. He goes on and he says, this is all through faith that this is happening. And he goes into a child, he says, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she, this is the reason, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Most of our problem in the Christian life is not that God is unable or we don't believe him, but why, when faith really acts in our life, is when we realize that we don't have anything to do with it. That our limitations, and that it's not the amount or the building of our faith, but in our person or how God will work it out, but simply that God can. That God is faithful to his word. Do you understand? She didn't understand what God was going to do inside of her to fix it, or else she would have asked him for it long before this day. She didn't understand how she creeped around and probably was a little bit hunched over for the majority of it. And she didn't understand how God was going to give her the power at age 90 to birth a child and bring it into life. But what she knew was that God was good for his word. What it would be for us all if we came to the place and we realized that God is God and he will always be good for his promises. The rest of us today, not just talking about having babies at 90s, most of you in here wouldn't even ask that. But what you would do, if you believe that God was good for his promises, would claim the promises in his book that is given to the Christian. But most of us say, I don't think God could do that with me. I don't believe God would do that for me. If he knew who I was, he knew who you were when he died on Calvary. He knew who you was going to be. He knew how bad your sin was going to be. He knew how good you would think you were. And he died for you anyway. And he made promises that if we would just put our faith and trust in him, not only would we have salvation, that would be the starting blocks, the beginning of our faith where we launched out with God and we would see God build things like Noah. translated like Enoch. Abel, that after he was dead, he still was alive in Christ Jesus and spoke, his blood spoke out from the ground to Almighty God. Abraham, who was given a promise, folks, I'm just going to tell you, and even what the scripture is going to be telling us, think about how miraculous this is. Therefore, so it says through faith, because Abraham believed, his wife believed, and God could do a work in her body, and it says that, and it goes, sprang therefore even of one. Now again, this the way everything is worded, if you're not careful, you'll think, well, who is this one? Isaac? No, it's Abraham. God didn't make the promise to Isaac. The promise was given to Isaac because he was the son of Abraham. By the way, he's going to come up in the sequential verses that are going to follow, and it's not just going to be him spoken of. We're going to speak again about Abraham. That Abraham had so much faith in God, when God asked him for his son back, Abraham was willing to give it to him because he knew God promised to raise up seed as innumerable as the sand along the beach, where you couldn't count all the grains of sand. God said he would multiply through Isaac. Listen, if you had that kind of promise, if God said, would you please sacrifice your son? You would say, I've watched God do crazy things in my life, and I don't know how he'll do it, but God promised that he would do it through Isaac. And I'll give him to you, God. And listen, even the scripture, the blessing of the Bible is not just read. Do you know you can read through the book of Genesis and you have no idea what's going on in the mind of Abraham? But the Holy Spirit, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, that I think is Paul, when he pens this down by the inspiration of God, we get to look inside the thought life of Abraham and how he reckoned God faithful. Look at what it says. Look over. I want you to jump with me to verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You say, how did he put his faith in God when God wanted to kill his son? Because he accounted that God was able to raise him back up again, even from the dead. And he says, from whence he had received him. He realized that his body was dead and unable to have children, and that God made his body alive so that he could bring alive Isaac. It was a miracle child, not just on mom's side, but on Abraham's side too. We seem to miss this fact that God made the promise and then Abraham believed God and went off with Hagar to make Ishmael. God had already touched his body. Before that interaction, there was no ability for Abraham as an old man to make a child. But because God said it was, he was able to make children, but it wasn't the child God wanted. And when the child was born, God said, listen, I'll bless him, but he ain't the one. Abraham said, please, God, take my plan B. Raise this boy up. Make him the one. And God said, he ain't the one I want. He's only half a miracle. I need a whole miracle. I need everybody to realize that I'm God, and I want to do it through you and your wife, who could not have a child, who's tried and tried and tried, and you both don't have the ability, but I can make it happen. Listen, can I tell you that Abraham realized who God was and just how able he was? And by the way, the more you read this book and you watch God do for you, even when God wants to take something seemingly, you'll willingly give it. Because you have no idea how God is going to take care of, but you know God is God, and he is righteous in everything that he does. And by faith, you'll say, God, if that's what you want, you can have it. I don't know how you'll give it back, and I don't know how you're going to do what you've already promised, but God, I know you're God, and I'll trust you with it. Look, and he goes on, and I love this. He says, look at jump back to verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, that's Abraham, and him as good as dead, 99. I'm not saying that he was saying that everybody's 99 is good as dead, but that's Bible. Right? I mean, what is it? You're on borrowed time, friend. When you're 99, you're on borrowed time. That is all the blessings of God by the time you get to that age. God guaranteed you 75 years. And that's if you're obedient to your parents. And you don't wear the body out long before it ought to. You can't do the drugs of this world and beat the body all up and expect it to live as long as God said it should. But you can be obedient. And that same body, if you're, listen, I'm not talking about living the uber healthy. You know what Larry, Brother Larry said? He came in, he was all orange from all his carrot juice. He said the man that eats better, drinks better, and exercises dies healthier than everybody else. And that's just the truth of it. For all of us, we got to come to the place where we realize that our lives and our eternal destinies are in God's hands. He's the one with the stopwatch. And when it's time, it's time. And if he's going to add or take away, that's up to him. He is the righteous judge. He's the only one that knows when we're going to go. But he said at 99 that Abraham was as good as dead. You know, Abraham lived on a little while by the grace of God. But he multiplied them as many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Listen, I don't know about you, but you think Israel's just a very small country, but when God really gets down to it and he starts calling all his people back to that place, you're going to be surprised just how many Jews there really are scattered all over the world. He's been calling them back, but he isn't really calling them back like he's going to just before he comes. I mean, you're going to see them exiting everywhere because anti-Semitism, like it got, you know, under Biden a little bit. You get one of them rulers, and even he had sense enough to try to squash it and put it down. But the world, listen, that didn't go away. They just are hiding it. One day that's going to come out, and I mean, the only place they're going to be able to live is back in the land that God has given them again. And they're going to exit this place, and they're going to get there, and you're going to find out that there's a lot more of them than you think. We're coming to the place in the scripture where we realize, and if we went generation by generation, just how many Jews have sprang out of one? Abraham and his wife Sarah. By the way, when we say one, I want all of you to listen to me because I think we miss this. Personally, when God, I just married a couple. And when I join them together, you and I still see them in Mrs. and Mr., right? Anyhow, God sees them anymore. He sees them as one. One flesh. And listen, when we read this, I think the powerful thing, I've read this many times and I understood it's Abraham, but when the Bible says, and even of one, he's not talking of Abraham. He didn't name him because he was talking about Abraham and Sarah. You know why God wouldn't take Ishmael? Because that wasn't a marriage relationship. That wasn't one flesh that showed the power of God and the work of God. It ought to help us to understand that the marriage relationship is not something that the church instituted. It is something God instituted long before his church. And what he instituted was the church because he needed to take the families, the ones he's joined together, and make a family of God in a place. And to call them out. Listen, one day we're going to be called out as a family of God. We miss some of the most wonderful blessings from the scripture. And he says in verse 13, he says, these all died in faith. He already told you he was almost dead when he had the baby, right? Why is it a surprise that he died? He died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Can I encourage you tonight to have eyes of faith? We live as Americans. We are desirous of the God of the immediate. You know, tonight we had to get something for the Bible. One of the houses, my wife and I were driving back from the conference we were at, and Brother Coral's coming in tomorrow. We needed something for the house, and she said, I'm ordering it from Walmart. It will be at the house from 4 to 6. Now, I thought that was pretty good because it was noon. She said, but I could get it in an hour if you're willing to pay $10 more for it. I said, I think 4 to 6 would be fine. Hey, I'm just telling you, you know, a lot of things in our life, God tells us so many places to wait on Him. Our faith is dependent on trusting Him and waiting. Do you know what? Listen, can I just remind you? You know what Abraham and Sarah did? They sacrificed what God wanted to do to the God of the immediate and said, here's my handmaid. Go on and do that. Instead of saying, I don't know how God's going to do this, but let's just trust Him. Let's pray. I believe that sometimes in our life we decide that these all died, not having seen the promise, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them. What does that mean? Can I tell you tonight, why do you need to be in church? Because God is trying to talk you into something. He is trying to persuade you that you can trust Him. The Christian life is constantly being persuaded that you can trust Him more than you did yesterday. Yeah. God is so big. He's so strong and so mighty, there is nothing my God cannot do. We can sing that and little kids believe it. But adults have to be persuaded of it over and over and over again. That God is able to do so much more than we could ever ask or think. He is just waiting for a man, a woman to trust Him and ask Him for something that's bigger than themselves. And then walk by faith. Wait on Him until He delivers on His promise. Abraham and Sarah, they kept going. Listen, 86 to 99, there was a couple years in there. And then God did it just like He said. He said, persuaded of them, and what? After I'm persuaded by faith of what God can do, I embrace them. That's what the scripture says. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do you know when you embrace the things of God, you realize this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My great home is laid up way beyond the blue. Listen, when you start realizing that all the things that God could give you down here, you realize if the things down here are so good that God could do in my life, how good is it going to be when I see Him face to face? With all the things that are prepared on the other side, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged the more I read the book of Hebrews in this chapter that not only that Jesus is better, but He has a better life prepared for the saints that by faith will decide, be persuaded to embrace God and His promises. If I could do anything and take my heart out and put it in your heart, it would say, please embrace the promises of God. 2026 is a great year to be persuaded that God can and embrace Him. Embrace Him by faith, a big old hug of faith, and trust God. You can trust Him. You say, I don't know. Look at what the news is saying. Look at what the president's doing. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we're going to take over the whole world. At least Venezuela and Greenland. But I mean, we ought to realize that things are changing in the world. But you don't think things were changing in Abraham's world all around him? You don't think that all the stuff that could go on was going on back then? Listen, but when we embrace the things of God, we realize this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My God is more powerful than the president, and whether He will or whether He won't, bring us into something that would change our everyday life. God is working on a much bigger scale than that. I just have to be persuaded of that and embrace Him. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would love to take the Bible and show you how to put your faith and trust, how to embrace salvation that can only be found in Jesus Christ. I would love to take the Bible and make sure that you are 100% persuaded that Jesus is the very Son of God, who died on Calvary and rose again to pay your sin debt, and show you how the Bible says that you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. And the Bible then says, thou shalt be saved. And when you're persuaded of it and you put your faith in Him, it'll change everything for the future for you. It will definitely begin by changing your eternal destiny from hell to heaven. But if you're a Christian and you've already done that, what is it that you are resistant between you and God? What is it that you're not persuaded that God said He wants you to do, but He wants you to trust Him with? I beg you tonight, don't put it off another day. Embrace God. Be persuaded that God can, and trust Him for it. Let's stand together. The musicians are going to come. If you need to be saved tonight, would you meet me in the front? Let me take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian, why don't you use the altar? It's a place where we can meet with God and talk to Him and say, God, I'm persuaded. I'm ready to embrace the things that You've asked me to do. Why don't you do it tonight? Brother Bert's going to sing. I'll meet you in the front if you need to be saved or you need to pray about something. Just meet me here in the front.